Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes you're here, you can take a break. From a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Bonnie Albers on air, and I am Bonnie Albers, and I have my favorite astrologer. He's the doctor of the stars, planets, sky, and earth. His name is Dr. Ron Cole. Anything that you need to know about what happens to our planets, our houses, our skies, our constellations, that is Ron. He is super cool, and he does this for a living. First, I want to say hello. Hi, Ron!
Hello, Bonnie. Good day to you, and hello, everyone who's listening.
Hi. I am so happy to have you. Just let me say a few announcements. So tomorrow, everyone, I have Jerry Humphreys from the UK that's coming on at 1 o'clock, and actually the show will resume at the time it should at one. It just was crazy today, and I didn't press one quick enough, and so we got on at 1:30. But Ron does unbelievable birth charts. But he does more than that, everyone. He is the expert on anything and everything in your houses, your planets, your stars, the north nodes, south nodes. He does everything you can possibly imagine. And it's not just for one chart. He actually does updates. So I know I get an update, and I think tomorrow we're coming I'm going to Ron's and taking my son because he needs an astrological update. So if you would, and this is Ron's business, is you can find him should you want your birth chart or any update. If you have a birth chart and you haven't had it done recently, you are going to be amazed at what an update, an astrological update. It's yearly, and actually probably you can have it more than a year, but yearly is amazing what it tells you. So please get a hold of him at livingastro@aol.com, livingastro@aol.com, and put in the subject line reading from Bonnie's show or Bonnie Albers on air or reading. So, Ron, what can you add to that that everybody needs to know?
Well, thank you, Bonnie. It's funny when you said he's an expert in your houses. I don't mean the houses they live in. I mean the houses in their chart, which are the different sections of the astrological wheel.
You can be an expert in my house anyway, Ron. You're here. I love having you. You could be an expert in my house anytime. And
I was just going to say, what's interesting about astrology is when you have an astrology chart set up, you're actually going to be looking at the roadmap and pattern of energies that you as an evolving soul are working with in this lifetime. And that's why it is based on when you enter this lifetime as a full, independent, living being. So when a chart is set up, the astrologer will always ask you for your location on the Earth's surface as to where you're born. Usually that's a city or town. The month, day, and year that you are born in, and the clock time that you were born, because you are setting up as an astrologer the exact mapping of those sky conditions from that location at that time. And that is what the individual chart is meant to be. I've had people get very mad at me because, I don't know what time I'm born at, but I'm born on this day, and here's my birthday, and I was born in this city. And they don't understand that you're only given two-thirds of an important three-part legacy needed to set up the chart. And you can't set it up with two-thirds. It's incomplete. So time is as important because you are setting up that moment of time.
Well, you know what? Also, you asked where you were born. So that's really interesting. And can you tell everybody why?
Go ahead.
Can you tell everybody why? Because, you know, I was talking to my husband last night, and he said he was born in Kingston, Rhode Island. But then when we had set the chart up for that, and then when I said, well, were you born? Here's Kingston, Rhode Island. He goes, well, I was really born at Quonset Point. But it happened to be in Kingston, Rhode Island. But can you tell everybody why it's important where they're born?
Well, because the sky conditions can vary in various parts of the country or various parts of the world. The moon will be in one part of the sky in one particular part of the world, and it will be in another part of the sky somewhere else. And this is true for all the planets, including the sun. Now, for example, the astrological sign, let's say, of Aries could be rising right now. I'm not saying it is, but it could be rising right now in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Well, that's very interesting, but the astrological sign of Capricorn, or maybe even of Sagittarius, is rising in the Western time zone. So in other words, you will be able to have different astrology ascendants rising at different times. You could call a person from the UK to the U.S., and they're 5 hours different. And that 5 hours makes a big, big, big difference in time. In the U.K., Virgo could be rising, not particularly now, but let's say at a time that you're calling. But when you're talking to a person in the Eastern time zone in the U.S. 5 hours earlier, well, it won't be Virgo at all. It could be Gemini rising for the person in the Eastern time zone. So you have
wow.
to have the exact, because you're needed to get that location on the Earth's surface as to what the sky conditions overhead were exact when that child took that first breath at the time,
that,
too.
That is so interesting. And, you know, I've been asked, I think we've talked about this a lot, about people who can't find their birth time. And I kind of thought maybe that they came in with a chart that they were not supposed to work with, because there's a lot of people who can't find their time. And so what would they do if they can't find their time?
Well, actually, if there's no time available and there's no one who even has an idea, not a surviving family member, not a written notation in a record place, such as in some people, a family Bible or other types of placements of writing, and no one has any idea at all, you could try calling a hospital if you're born there and request a copy of the birth record, which means that the hospital keeps a record of everyone born there for their important data information. And many times they will have it. They will have it on microfilm, and you can get the birth record from the hospital statistics track. And the only thing is, once you find out you can't get it in any way, it is absolutely impossible to do an astrology chart then, because you cannot do a chart that will be a complete 24-hour period of one day in which the planets could be in any house, in any combination, in any sign combination, in any ascendant combination, because in 24 hours everything changes and moves completely in one circular pattern, and they're moving all the time. And you've got to have that exact time, that time that child was born and took their first breath. That's the time the chart set up for.
I think that is so interesting. And like I said, I know there are people who can't find their time. And I just, maybe that's what spirit has them working with. They're not working with a chart, even though there is one. They're not able to see it. They're coming here blind without that chart. And anybody who doesn't do a chart for their birth chart actually comes here blind too. But it's really important, I think. To me, Ron, the most important, reading or chart is your birth chart. And then, you know, things move. And that's why I want people to know that just because you have a birth chart, that's set in everything you came with and we're going to work with, and what you, your past lives and things we see in your house, and takes you through this whole lifetime. But the updates are incredible, don't you think?
Well, yes, because as you live, as years pass in your life, your chart will do what is called progressing. They will progress slowly through different, especially the moon, through different signs of the zodiac, and other planets will move, sometimes into a totally different sign. The ascendants and house cusps will definitely progress and move into normally various signs throughout your life. And so to know what your chart is saying at any particular year, you can have it progress. But you have to have the birth, and you have to read the birth chart first, and you have to have that as the foundation from which the progressions are based on. So it's a very interesting science, and it does have its own series of terms and series of steps to do things. It is not just the month you're born under. You see people say, well, I'm born between, well, like where we are right now, October 21st and November 21st, and I'm a Scorpio, and they think that's all there is. And then when I mention, oh, you have to give me your month, day, and year, well, then they think, well, that's going to really give me the answer, because it's the month, day, and year within that sign of Scorpio. And many times I say, no, that's still not complete. You've got to give me the time on that day. And you see, so it's not just those sun sign columns, which are really a negative bone of contention for astrology, because that gives everyone out there who reads them and follows them the thinking that that's all there is to astrology. and it's certainly not true. Astrology.
Well, we know. We know by having you here. We know by having you here, Ron, that it isn't just the only thing, because you've brought so much to the show. So tell me what.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Tell us what, you know, give us the clue of what's going on, guys, Ron.
Well, this is an interesting day because every planet, as far as fire, earth, air, and water placements, are perfectly balanced. We don't have something heavily emphasizing one of the categories. Now, there are categories of fire, there are categories of earth, air, and water, and it is average or balanced to have two or three in each of those, two or three. Well, if you remember, show after show after show, something was really overemphasizing one of them. Last show we did, there were like four or five planets in water and only one, I believe, in air. And then for weeks there, in previous shows, we were having like five planets, six planets, four planets in earth, earth, earth. Well, today, there are two planets in fire, which is an average balance. That's Saturn and Uranus. There are two planets in earth, and that's Jupiter and Pluto. There are three planets in air, and that's still considered average, the Moon, Venus, and Mars. And there are three planets in water, and that's the Sun, Mercury, and Neptune. Now, this is the first show in months and months in which we've had the planets in a nice, perfectly balanced placement with not one, with four or five placements and one missing any categories. Each of these specifics, fire, earth, air, and water, are completely different in the characteristics that they manifest. So a planet in a fire sign will be very different than a planet in a water sign, which is different than one in an earth sign or in an air sign.
Well, can you give us the differences, Ron? Because I'm going to tell you, and I want you to think about this, because it just hit me. Well, it didn't hit me, but, you know, that is the four elements of the tarot, or the tarot.
Yes.
Cups,
it
wand,
is.
Fire.
Go
ahead.
They correspond exactly, Bonnie. Cups in the tarot are water, see? Or chalices, sometimes people say that. What do you think the other three would be? There's the pentacles. What do you think that would be? That's earth.
That's earth. Yeah. Earthly goods.
Could be coins or earth. Now, the clubs, that's one thing that actually maintained its name in the suit of today. The playing cards of today come from the tarot or have their origin in the face of the tarot. And there is the club in the tarot, and there's still the club suit in the cards today. And then that the clubs, see, this is what's really interesting. Some people give them one category, some people give them another. Clubs can be, in some categories, described as fire, and some can be described as air. There's the sword, too. So here's how I see it. This is my view. Tend to be fire, and clubs would tend to be air because of the fact of their movement.
Wands.
Both are movable.
Well, wands. They're wands in our deck. The clubs are wands. The clubs in a regular deck are
wands.
Yes, wands.
That's right.
Definitely air.
Wands.
Yes.
And they're air. So that's how those categories would work. And by the way, speaking of air, we have the Moon in Aquarius today, and this is an air sign. It is not a water sign, even though everything about its sounding name can make us think of water. Aquarius, aquarium, aqua. We think of that all the time connected with it. We even call it the water bearer. But in actuality, Bonnie, it is not a water energy. It's an air energy, and air is the element of intelligence and thinking. And water is an emotional element, feelings and sensitivity and compassion and intuition. So Aquarius is a very intelligent, highly cerebral sign, very communication-orientated. So this is connected to the element, the element of air. So we have the sun in a water sign today because it's still in Scorpio and will be for probably the next 4 or 5 days. That is a water sign, not the moon. But there's going to be a full moon coming up here pretty soon, everybody, on November 25th. And isn't that one day before Thanksgiving in the U.S., the American Thanksgiving? The full moon, November 25th, is going to occur at 5:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So wherever you are in the world, just find how many time zones you are away from Eastern Standard Time, and then start with 5:45 Eastern, and then adjust it either earlier or later, depending on where you are, and you will know then the exact moment of the full moon. That full moon is at 3 degrees Gemini, 20 minutes. So it's the Gemini full moon. And what's happening is the sun is at 3 degrees, 20 minutes Sagittarius, and the moon is at 3 degrees, 20 minutes Gemini, and they're sitting opposite each other. So this is the Gemini full moon for the year. And that's a pretty intelligent, communicationary, movement, travel-orientated, action-orientated, kinetic type of full moon.
Wow. You know what? That's so funny because on the 23rd and 24th, I always bring my family into it. Lauren takes the train to Norwalk, which is Yale's sister school, for an interview.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
See, that's very good. Well, Gemini is, I was just about to say, a very good sign for writing, a full moon, a very good sign for putting down words in a communicationary way. It would be pretty good for taking a test, an exam, filling out a resume, contacting or communicating with someone. This is a dynamic full moon in that sense because Gemini is the sign of profound communication. So that is a stimulating mental full moon.
Well, doesn't that have, Gemini, they always say Gemini is associated with two, like the twins. So I wonder what a two, if you think about it twofold, what that moon's going to bring. Maybe, I don't know, love and finance, who knows?
Well, it could indicate two things. It could indicate profound ideas flowing through a person's head. And it could indicate putting those ideas down in a written form, such as a manuscript they're writing, a designed book they're working on. The idea flows from mind to head to paper or to type. The other idea can be the idea of this full moon. This is an adaptable full moon. This is a flexible full moon because of the concept of it being in Gemini, the sign of multiplicity. It can indicate doing more than one main function. Of course, many people say, well, I do many functions at one time, all the time, but this is a full moon that's very good in multitasking, particularly in communication. And it's very good if you're already having family members and people coming around you to have multiple gatherings, even though the Thanksgiving holiday is the very next day. Because actually, Thanksgiving will be the third day of the full moon. The full moon will be November 24th, 25th, and 26th. Now, it's exact on the 25th, but it still has a spillover influence plus or minus one day either side of that. So it will look perfectly full on the 24th as well as the 26th. And the 25th is the exact hit day of the full moon. So,
well, you'll be here.
Remember.
Yeah, you'll be here for Thanksgiving dinner because I always make it the day before, which is on the full moon.
Yes, exactly. It will be on the exact night of the full moon, and it will be 5:45 p.m. As the exact moment of the full moon. So it will be a very energized, energetic, dynamic time. Now,
I'm not going to howl, Ron. I'm not going to howl at the moon. I'll have too many people here. Okay.
Well, you remember the last show we talked about the dragon's head and the dragon's tail and a bit about Chinese astrology that the ancient Chinese believed there was a giant dragon in the sky. And there was the that we now call the north node on the dragon's head and the south node on the dragon's tail. Well, interestingly enough, the Chinese are all Orientals, not just the Chinese, have a totally different image of a dragon than Western culture. In Western culture, he's a fearsome beast in which the brave knight goes out to fight and kill, slay the dragon. He's destructive, he's dangerous, he can consume people, and it is not
positive
energy. But in the Orient, yes, but in the Oriental culture, dragons are considered lucky. They are not considered fearsome beasts. They are considered positive energy. They are considered good things. And the dragon imagery or the dragon dance is very much a very popular part of Oriental culture. Two or more people will form a body of a dragon, a dragon's head and the dragon's length of the body, with people forming it and doing a dance and a movement, and that's considered very, very, very positive. So on the different cultures of the world, the dragon has a totally different meaning. In fact, one of the Chinese signs of the zodiac is that of the dragon. And
that
so
is so interesting.
They're not afraid of its fire breathingness. They're not afraid of that. They just think it brings luck. They even think that dragon scales that fall off the body of the dragon, if you find one or keep one or receive one, you've been given a great blessing, you see.
Wow.
It's very interesting because, speaking of the Chinese, most everyone has gone to a Chinese restaurant and had one of those placemats that you're born in the year of the dragon, the year of the rat, the year of the ox, the year of the rabbit, and they break this down into a 12-fold pattern, and people sit and look at the year they were born under and connected with the Chinese emblem or energy. Well, it's interesting because the Chinese, in doing their astrology, base it on the year of. And there's one planet that spends a year in an astrology sign, and that's Jupiter. And so what happens is ancient Chinese astrologers lined up with Jupiter, which is always considered a benevolent planet in Western culture, and they gave the name of the sign that Jupiter was in an association to an animal. Now, they didn't just pick animals at random. The idea is that when the Buddha received his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, 12 different animals came to him. In his enlightenment, they were the first creatures to approach him and come to him, and he gave them special blessings. And each of those is one of the Oriental creatures of their Chinese zodiac. Well, what is interesting is I believe right now we are in the year of the sheep, as of we're doing this reading in November of 2015. Well, the Chinese New Year will vary from year to year. It's not the same date every year. And how they determine the Chinese New Year is it is determined whenever there's the new moon in Aquarius. Whenever the sun and moon come together in Aquarius, and that can change from year to year as to the date, that will be the Chinese New Year. Now, the moon will be in Aquarius February 7th, 8th, and 9th. But it's the 8th that it's the closest. It's the exact time of the new moon. The sun and moon will be in Aquarius then, and this is 2016. And I believe this is going to be the date of the next Chinese New Year. Now, China is hours and hours and hours ahead of the U.S. So because of that, it may even be the 7th. They may even have it on that day because their day will be off by many hours from the U.S. So it could be the 7th, but I'm going to say it's the 8th. And I believe we're going to enter the year of the monkey. I think we're going to end the year of the sheep, and the year of the monkey will start. Now,
do you know what it means?
I don't know what the Chinese zodiac means. I really don't know their meanings because the energies they assign with animals is a whole study unto itself. But I know that it is a big thing in Chinese culture and in Chinese settlement areas. They will actually have a dragon figure, human beings dressed in a dragon doing a dragon dance, if you own a Chinese restaurant, the dragon will dance in front of your doorway, an entrance to your restaurant, and fireworks will be thrown on the ground, little small fireworks that will explode. And the fireworks are there to scare away the evil or the evil spirit. And the dragon is there to give you blessings and luck, because just what I said, the dragons are considered great culture in China. In fact, if you see the Forbidden City in Beijing, in China, there are dragon images everywhere in that Forbidden City, as far as sculptings and visual images, because the more dragons, the more luck for the emperors and for the Forbidden City itself and for the emperor's court. So we are not coming into the Year of the Dragon. In fact, the Year of the Dragon was not long ago. It was probably 4 years ago. We're coming into the Year, I believe, of the Monkey. And
we'll have to look that one up, Ron.
What?
Yeah, we'll have to look that one up.
Just wanted to bring that up and mention that's coming up in the near future, because we have the moon in Aquarius today, and in December, January, Aquarius moons. It won't be Chinese New Year's, but the February one will be. So
yeah.
I wanted to talk about something else, Bonnie, and that is about a certain visualization that I would like the listeners to consider doing. And if you're driving right now, don't do this now. Or if you're in a position of operating a vehicle, don't do this now, but just basically hear and remember. You know, we tend to think of ourselves as physical beings. You know, we bump our arm against something, we get a bruise there, we have an operation on a physical organ or area of the body, and we tend to say, in fact, we've even had people give concepts like we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Yes, because we are a spiritual being, that's true, and we are in a physical world. But I'm going to make this allegory. If you look at a rock that's sitting in a river or a river flow, water comes straight at that rock, and the rock doesn't stop water flowing. Water will flow over the rock or on either side of it and keep on going with its same speed. It'll just keep on going. If you were being dragged along the earth, your physical body now, and the earth would be giving you cuts and bruises and burns from the friction, and you hit up against that rock, you're stuck. You're stuck there because you are not fluidic to move up or around. So earth energy, if you keep a consciousness or view that you're just here in the world and you're born, you live, you die, and that's it, and there's nothing else, and I've heard people say that all the time to me, you're like the person who believes in the physicalness of yourself on the dry ground being pulled along and then pushed up against a rock and you're stuck there. But I want everyone to stop and think why I'm saying this. Our bodies are 75% fluid, 25% solid. That means we are more aqueous than we are of matter. And we really are liquid forms of life. When you think about it, we are more like the water in a river that comes right up against a rock and flows right over it or flows around it. It flows and keeps on going. So there are so many people who have the consciousness of being here, one lifetime only, earthbound, give me all I can get because this is it. And they're like the people being dragged along the ground, earth to earth, body to earth, cut, bruised, burned, and then hit up against a rock, and they're stuck there. So why I'm telling people this is the sun is in a water sign today, Scorpio, and the moon is not really in a water sign, but it has a water bearer image. And so I want everyone to meditate on themselves as fluid. Now, we are 75% fluid and only 25% solid. Meditate on the realness of what you are. The majority of you, two-thirds of you, or three-quarters of you, rather, excuse me, is fluid. And let the solid of your body in your meditation dissolve into fluid. That's everything solid. That's the bones, the organs, the muscles, all the inner parts of your body, such as the capillaries, the veins, the arteries. And when you dissolve into fluid, fluid is like water signs in astrology. Fluidic energy is spirit, spiritual, soul matter, psychic, intuitive, mystical, perceptive. So what you want to do is when you, in your meditation now, dissolve into fluid, you now see your real soul essence. Not that the soul itself is a liquid bag of water, but it is fluidic, and it is in our body 75% fluid. The soul is the inhabitor of the body. And when you do this, you perceive yourself in a completely different way. And as you perceive yourself in this way, you can perceive yourself as more psychic, as more receptive, as more metaphysical than physical, and a being of aqueous or fluidic energy. Now, this is very important to do this meditation at times whenever the sun or moon is in a water sign, because it affirms an energy about ourselves that's real that we often don't take account of or really don't think about, because you'll hear every scientist and every doctor and everyone out there in many programs and shows will say, yes, the human body is 75% fluid. Well, that's true. I mean, that's a scientific fact. That's not just something made up. So what we need to do is recognize that part of us. And when we dissolve our solid substance into fluid, it doesn't mean we lose being here in the world. It means we have a different essence about ourselves. And that's what I really wanted to talk about in one of the things today. When you do this, you get more in connection with your soul. You get more in connection with the soul energy that's in your body. See, and this is very important.
I love that.
Because you lose being zombified here on Earth, thinking, you know, you're like a walking physical mass of hard energy walking around in a zombified way. And because people don't connect with their fluidicness, they get earthbound, and this can lead to problems like greed and possessiveness and all kinds of other things that are related to things of the physical world. Now, the physical world isn't bad, because the physical world is where we work off karma.
Even though I have earth in my chart.
What did you say, Bonnie?
I said, yes, no, earth isn't bad. Even though I have no earth, I want to cry when I hear earth. And I don't have any in my chart, maybe one, I think. But you're right.
Not bad. No, it's not bad, because earth signs give us the ability to maneuver within the earth plane easier. But what it also does is it gives us our work instinct and our ability to manifest things in the material plane. But that's not really the essence of what we are. We are more 75% fluid than we are of the 25% solid. So keep this in mind, folks, not just now or not just tomorrow, but in the future, whenever things kind of get stuck in your life, you feel you're stuck up against that rock in a symbolic way and can't move up, can't move around it because you've been scraped along the ground and pushed up or slammed up against that solid rock, matter of body, matter on earth, matter on rock. Change the consciousness into a fluidic vision of self. And you're getting in touch with the real soul within you. And even doing this meditation and this visualization long enough, I believe it's going to increase your natural inborn intuitive ability. And the other thing is, you begin to realize, Bonnie, every other person you look at that's alive in this world is 75% fluid also. And I think this is one of the reasons why people can be so intuitive sometimes and just pick up on others or get a sense about someone else, because it's fluid to fluid from one to another. Now, fluid is very influenced by the moon, because look at what the moon does to the tide, especially during the full moon. Yeah, we're leading back to that full moon again, the one that's going to be around the 25th. The full moon pulls up on the Earth so much that sometimes it's pulled upward in a tree rather than downward. The water of the oceans are pulled upward and form higher tides. And since we're 75% fluid, the moon, even though that fluid's encapsulated in a material form, the moon is pulling up on that fluid too when it's full. So anything that's aqueous or fluidic will be very, very influenced by the lunar pull. And that's one of the reasons why some people snap at the time of the full moon and others get highly creative. Some people get, you know, bizarre, and other people get creative. The difference is, in my view, Bonnie, the people that are creative tend to be much more in touch with the spirit within themselves and the 75% fluid within themselves. And they tend to be much more in touch with their own intuitiveness. And the ones that are the least in touch will be the ones that will sometimes snap and have the pressure of the full moon on their self and their body trigger stuff inside of them.
Absolutely. I think so too.
Anyway,
I love
to bring
fluid. I love fluid, Ron. Even though I think I'm all fire, even though I'm a Cancer with every... It's really weird because I have all fire in my planet, except, I mean, all in my placements. And I am a Cancer, so I'm water. And my kids are all water in every one of to my fire. So you'd think they'd be the ones that are more psychic than me. And they deny it, but I know they are, but it's really weird. But when you think about everybody being 75% water, which is the sign or the element of spirit and emotion, you're right. Everybody gets to touch everybody in a way that we are all one, because everybody keeps saying that we are all one, but we all look different, we all feel different, we're all, you know, in different places, but the one thing we're all the same is that we're 75% fluid. So I love that. No matter how big or small.
Not only that, being born with the chart with 4, 5, 6 planets in water signs, when a person takes that first breath and has their natal chart installed for this life, that will show that they are, by nature, way more in touch with that inner fluidicness of which they are and the inner soul essence. And that's why when water signs are above average in placements of planets in the chart, people have really strong propensity for psychic talents, psychic gifts, metaphysics, and spirituality. Now, one of the big factors is just look at the sun. Now, in this case, I am kind of reverting back to the sun signs. It is true of all 12 signs of the zodiac, the Pisces people, the Cancerian people, and the Scorpio people tend, by just the placement of their sun in a water sign, just by that one thing alone, they tend to have one notch ahead in that intuitive, emotional, spiritual connection with their own fluidic nature.
Yes, definitely. What do you feel?
Well, I like that about we are all one.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, people say we're all one and, you know, one for all, one this, one that, and we don't ever feel it. And I really believe you kind of hit it on the head. I believe everybody has talent and gifts, and I believe that it's only a matter of tapping into them. So that just goes to prove if everybody has this fluid, this psychic, you know, ability to in touch with your feelings type of existence, then everyone can tap in and learn or study how to touch into their psychic nature. Some people more than others. Like I always say, I can't play basketball like Michael Jordan, but then I don't know if he can find spirit like I can. So it's a matter of what you come down and work with. But I love that explanation. Love it.
And I personally believe, Bonnie, the more a person repeats this meditation, they get in their quiet space, shut off their phone, shut off outside noise, get into a place of being away from all of this interference and meditate, and repeatedly meditate on seeing themselves liquefy into fluid, because that's the majority of their essence in this world. Although this is a physical world, we have a huge amount of water on this planet, and we are a huge amount of water. So you meditate on it, you will increase your intuition. You will increase your ability to be metaphysical and spiritual just by this meditation alone.
Yes.
And it is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and I thank you for bringing that to us. Anything else happening, Ron?
Well, I got an email, and I just want to bring up this email from someone concerning our last show. Now, let me explain why I got this email. Last week was the new moon. That was Wednesday, the 11th of November, the old Armistice Day, called in the U.S. now Veterans Day. And I mentioned that, oh, the new moon is today in Scorpio. And I said, the ancient people, and it wasn't even that far away. It was even as up to the 1800s, not that many years back, that Scorpio, throughout centuries, was called the accursed sign. And there was 1 degree of the 30 degrees of Scorpio that was considered very bad, and that was the 19th degree of Scorpio. That was always called the accursed degree of the accursed sign. People who studied astrology or who were familiar with astrology feared the 19th degree of Scorpio, and if some planet would be at that point or some event in the sky would happen at that point, they were very nervous or frightened as to what it could do, what it could bring. And I mentioned the fact that in today's society, world, and life, we don't believe that there is an accursed sign anymore, and Scorpio is not accursed, not any more than any other sign. There is, Scorpio is just one of the 12 signs, and that certainly the 19th degree of Scorpio is not accursed. But I mentioned to you that points that occurred in the old belief system at 19 degrees would bring bad things in the world. Well, this is what the email said to me. They said, maybe you should rethink that, because 2 days after you were mentioning this about this new moon occurring at that old accursed degree of 19 Scorpio, we had the events in Paris. You're wrong. Maybe the older people, the older astrologers were right in this being an accursed degree, because you did mention they believe that it would bring war or bad events in the world or things to be afraid of or plagues or things. And I really was very fascinated with that email, not because I'm saying Scorpio is an accursed sign or the 19th degree is accursed, but it's very interesting that it appears that the 19th degree of Scorpio may have been a factor in triggering these events astrologically. And now there aren't any bad, so to speak, evil or bad stars that are around the 19th degree of Scorpio. But it is interesting, because this email writer said to me, perhaps this is a correct interpretation of that degree. Well, we've moved a week away from that degree, and in about another week, we're going to be at the full moon, and that one's going to be in Gemini, 3 degrees Gemini. So we're going to move completely into a new energy, and the moon is no longer in Scorpio. Hey, it's now in Aquarius. It's moved 3 whole signs, Sagittarius, Capricorn, and now into Aquarius since we've had the last show.
Well, what's crazy is this. Remember, you were looking to see what would happen, and it didn't, but it happened now. Well, I still think maybe, you know, we've got some other things coming, but do you remember you said that the blood moon was always on a Jewish holiday, and it was in Aries in September, correct?
Right. That's right.
So you were worried that we were going to globally be affected possibly by something that would be, you know, not a great thing for our country. And yet it hadn't happened. And then, you know, now we get this. So, well, it's not our country, it's France, but it is really everybody's country. So it's interesting. I wonder if we're going to be moving in to a different, you know, energy of like, let's get what we need to go done, and then let's have some peace. So I'm hoping.
Well, Bonnie, the full, the eclipsing full moons, which means that the lunar eclipses for 2 years without any exception, without any break, for 2 years in a row, all those lunar eclipses occurred on Jewish holidays. And they didn't miss 2 years. They didn't miss. And there are normally two sets of eclipses in a year, and they're 6 months apart. Like, for example, we were running eclipses in September, which we did have this year, and we also had eclipses 6 months earlier in March. So, and then the eclipses were running like that, 6 months apart, 6 months apart. And for the 2 years, we were having September and March eclipses. Well, there were solar eclipses also, the sun and moon coming together in the same sign. But the lunar eclipse is during a full moon. And, of course, during a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse, the moon's surface will appear red, blood red, or orange red in its visualness when you see it. And it's been a big topic on internet discussions, on other talk shows. People have brought this up. There are people that aren't even astrologers that were talking about it, saying, this just can't be a coincidence, because many people would say, I don't believe in coincidences. So this
yes,
is
I
just
know.
Some kind of event that is always occurring on high Jewish holidays, or not just high Jewish holidays, even Jewish holidays in general. And we had these lunar eclipses, full moons, on Passover, and we were having these events hitting for 2 years. Well, the last of the eclipses was the ending of September, not even 2 months ago.
Right.
And this is what everyone was saying, Bonnie. They're saying, now this pattern is over. Let's see what it's going to do in the world, because we do not know. We only know that these patterns were occurring without a break for 2 years. And we had all these blood moons. That's where the term blood moon came from, all these eclipses on these high holidays. Or I shouldn't say high holidays, just holidays. And then the last one ended. And I even made, if you remember, just what you said, now we'll see what's going to come from this. Now,
yeah,
we're going to have eclipses next year. We're going to have them in March. And now I believe in February. It's either one in February and one in March, or they're going to move back February now. But they will not.
Well, maybe one
will
be on the Chinese New Year and one will be on Easter, so that'll take away all of the Jewish holidays, and we'll be done with that. But, you know,
yeah,
it'll
well,
be interesting.
We'll have the Chinese New Year somewhere in late January or the first two-thirds of February.
How long do you think that... It is so interesting, because maybe it's my impression, but doesn't a full moon or the full moons last for the energies for 6 months?
If an eclipse occurs, yes, in a human being's chart, in an overview energy chart, an eclipsing energy will last in power and manifestation for 6 months. So let's say someone had the September 27th, I think was the eclipse, of this year, hit something in their chart, hit a planet, hit their ascendant, hit the top of their chart, which we call the midheaven. Well, that means that area of the chart will be under an eclipsing influence all the way until March the 27th, 2016, because an eclipse has a six-month window of influence. Well, an eclipse in a person's chart really is, for the most part, a good thing. Now, for world events, not always feared for by a lot of people, But if an eclipse hits something in a person's chart, it opens up a doorway and an opportunity and a portal and a good luck portal. Like it could open up a situation for a new work condition or a work expansion or a promotion or a raise in salary if it hits the career house, you see. So whatever planetary body it hits, it has an opening positive effect. However, people for centuries have feared eclipses, largely because before scientific understandings came about, eclipses would scare people. I mean, imagine if you did not know one was coming and you had a perfectly sunny day and then suddenly the sun starts getting darker, darker, and then it's not there at all and it becomes like a black hole in the sky and the entire world around you turns to night. That could terrify you beyond belief. Imagine what those people went through who didn't know what was happening scientifically. That would be a solar eclipse when the moon blocks the surface of the sun. Well, just the opposite. Imagine having a beautiful white pearl-like full moon hanging up there in the night sky, and then slowly a little edge of something starts coming across the moon's surface like a semicircular thing, and the moon starts becoming less and less visual until finally the entire moon surface goes from being bright white full moon to blood red orange and sits like this dark, ugly thing in the sky. That would terrify you if you did not know what was going on. Many people who thought these planetary bodies were gods were thinking the gods were telling them bad omens or fearful things. And so many people would stay in India and other parts of the world, would lock themselves in their houses and or go into caves or go into places of sanctuary to be safe when an eclipse was occurring because they were so afraid of it. And that fear would be understandable.
Yeah, but you know what? I wonder, Ron, if the September blood moon in Aries lasts 6 months, does that energy mean that we are now seeing the effects of that Aries blood moon in 6 months? And in the end of March, all of this will start to move and shift to a different energy.
Yeah, I think you said it in one nutshell right there. We're going to be under the final ending of the 2 years of nonstop blood moon eclipses on Jewish holidays. The eclipses will now go to other days that are not connected to Jewish holidays. But we're
completing that. Yeah, so I think that we all have to hold our breath, really, until March, the end of March, and see what the energies come up with because, you know, that's where, you know, from now, from September all the way through 6 months, is where I'm starting to get a little bit of nervousness about the Aries, about, you know, moving ahead without thinking about, you know, all that. And, you know, to me, I think Aries was the god of war. And, you know, that's what, you know, you don't want to see. So was Aries the god of war?
Yes, because it's ruled by Mars, the planet of war. Absolutely. And also, many times in looking at where the solar eclipses would fall on the Earth's surface with casting their shadow, the penumbra, they found later that armies would march exactly on the Earth's surface along the lines that the former eclipse had made on the Earth's surface, and war was taken between countries and their marching armies right along those lines. So actually, there has been some proven truth in looking at this.
I have 60 seconds, Ron, so I do want to tell everybody again, you are listening to Dr. Ron Cole. He is a doctor of astrology. He's our house astrologist. Please get him for a astrological chart reading or more, which he does updates and all kinds of things, at livingastro@aol.com. Ron does this for a living and is probably the best, most profound, most exhilarating, and wonderfully telling chart reading you could ever have. And I so recommend it. I'm going to be there tomorrow, Ron, for Arthur's update. And I just want to thank you, because I don't want to cut you off, but thank you. But go ahead, Ron, you have 11 seconds.
Oh, I just want to say it's been a great pleasure and an honor to be here today, Bonnie, and everyone. Thank you for giving me this great opportunity to continue talking about astrology.
I love it, Ron. We will see you back here. Oh, we won't next Wednesday because we're off the air, but we are not going to be here next Wednesday because I have a dinner. Okay. Thank you, everyone. I will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Jerry Humphreys. He is the CEO of a magazine from the UK called Psychic Insight Magazine, of which, Ron, you are going to be a columnist in, I hope.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I will talk to you. Everyone, have a great day and a great evening, and I will be back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Bye, Ron. Bye, guys. Bye, everyone in chat.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, all the listeners, callers, and everyone that's interested in all of my shows. Please come and like my show. Subscribe to Bonnie Albers on Air. You can Google me. I'm on everything. You can get me on podcasts and hear the show right from walking in your gym. Listen to Dr. Ron Cole today on podcast because I have 98 shows, and just pick one. We're all great. So thank you. Bye.